Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, podcast audience. And apparently we have a little bit of a hang up with our opening track.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let's get started.
And podcast audience, I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce a brother, my brother, who does not mind sharing God's direct word to him, to you. But I have to ask you, Messenger Rondiah teaches it is impossible for God's love to leave you. Messenger Rondiah teaches it is impossible for God's love to leave you. Messenger Rondiah teaches, if it is the will of God, there is nothing you can do about it. The messenger teaches, it's not so much do his will, but understand his will. Presenting my body, a living sacrifice. God, I'm gonna be in the way of Christ. I was asked this question, and the answer is yes. Question is, when will Jesus return? It is with great honor that I present to some, and it is my intent to introduce to so many more, the messenger we call Rondiah. The next voice you hear will be that of Messenger Rondiah, simply sharing God's love as experienced through his physical being to all of you. Messenger Rondiah.
Good evening, and thank you all for joining us tonight. I thank my co-producer for finding the time to come back to us tonight. We know it's been a rough road, but you've made it back, and we thank you and pleasure to have you back.
Pleasure to be back.
The question is, that's a good question. And one of the things which I want to speak about is letting us know, first of all, it's so important for us to understand who we really are. And not only who we really are, but who it is that we are trying to become. And so what I mean by that is what we have to understand is we're looking at things from the wrong perspective. Even though it is written in the Holy Scriptures, we're still missing the point. And what I mean by that, first of all, when you come to understand who you really are, when you come to understand that, then you will understand God's will. And what you have to understand about God's will is that God is constantly telling us. But because we have already had this preconceived notion of what it is, or we've read somewhere on what it is, we're missing the mark. We are part of the body of God. And so because we are part of the body of God, what we have to understand is your will is God's will. You have to understand that. Yes.
I'm sorry, my brother. You know, it's interesting and profound that, I listened to the Whining Brothers on the opening track. But they did ask three questions in their song. And tonight, if you would indulge me, I'd like to put those questions to you and let the audience get a much different perspective of the awesomeness of the God that we serve. And the first thing I'd like to ask you is, in the song, it asks, the songwriter was asking God, would he ever leave him? And you know, we listened to, I grew up listening to that song, but at this stage in my life, the same words are completely different to me. So I ask you, when the songwriter was asking God, would he ever leave him? Could you answer that for him?
Oh, yes, I can answer that, and it's a real easy one. And as I was saying, this has all been written down before, but because this has been written down in their scriptures that they hold so dearly, it's been written down. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And it's more to it than that, because we have to understand why he would never leave us. There's two reasons why he would never leave us. The first reason that he would never leave us is because of unconditional love. See, we don't truly know what unconditional love is. We think we do, but we don't. Unconditional love. That means I love you regardless. And so even if you look at effective, then you can begin to see a whole lot of different misbeliefs and things that are put out there that we have come to understand, accept, quote unquote, as gospel, that just isn't true. And what I mean by that is we're talking about we're always asking for forgiveness. With God, you can do nothing to harm God. You can say nothing that will harm God or make God feel good. When you are secure in who you are, these little things does not affect you. But we are so busy building God up and then breaking him down. But regardless to what you do, God is God. And the second reason that God will never leave you is because how can God leave self?
Amen. Talk to him, bro.
Amen.
How can God leave self? And that's why I said it's important for us to understand who we are. Now, everyone knows that the Spirit of God resides in us. But the part that people have a tendency to get confused is they think the God inside us is just a little being inside us that if we want to do right, it's there for us.
Amen.
But God is bigger than that. What we have to understand, and this is really important, then we can begin to understand who we are and how we look at God. Okay, first of all, you have to understand that God, that what we think is the little piece of God in us, that is who we are. But because we've got all these mirrors with the lights and we're used to people calling us this and that, we think that that's who we are. But we have to remember. We don't have to learn anything. We have to remember who we are. In the scripture, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And what we have to understand was when the Word was with God, we were there. We were there just as we assume that Jesus was there, because Jesus was there. And so are we. So were we there. But we can't accept that. And it's time for us to come back and remember who it is that we are.
I appreciate it again.
We are part of the body of God.
Before we go any further, give an honor to the pastor. I have to take a moment and acknowledge my mother's presence on the line. Hi, Ma. I have to take a moment and acknowledge again. So sometimes she finds some of what we say a little difficult, but I give honor to the woman who made this possible.
Amen.
And the second question to get back on our subject of the songwriter wanted to know, God was saying to him, will you do my will? And again, I found that to be a wonderful song, but as I hear it now, I'm sure the response is going to be just a little different. So when the question was asked, will you do God's will, Brother Messenger, mm-hmm. would you please expound on that?
Okay, here's what we have to understand with regards to that. Your will is God's will.
Amen.
Okay, you have to understand that, because now we're talking about God. We're not talking about who these religions have put in a box and made them a little this and jealous and all of this. Your will is God's will. Your will is God's will, and God accepts your will. Why? Because he has what is known as unconditional agape love for you. So he accepts your will and make his will your will. But, please don't get that confused with God's will. You understand what I'm saying? Your will is God's will. But now we have to make God's will our will.
Amen.
Okay? We have to make God's will our will, and we have to understand that if you did God's will all the time, there would be no more for you to do to achieve enlightenment. The process would be over. You would be already there. So God looks, in the end, as I said with the process, you will get to that stage. But right now what you have to understand is God needs you. God needs you, and I'll tell you why God needs you. Because God knows everything. God is everything. But in order for God to know the know that he knows, he needs to experience it. And this is where my brothers and sisters, we all come in at, but we don't understand it. In one breath, we will say that we can do nothing. If God told you not to move a finger, you couldn't move a finger. But you move fingers. Do you understand what I'm saying? You move fingers. A lot of things that you've done that, I hate to harp on it, but religions and stuff have told you you were so wrong and you got to get down on your knees and repent and beg for forgiveness. That is not true. You are here to create the best you that you can be.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand this. God gave you something, and it's so important, but you take it away from yourselves because you're, once again, you're interpreting the scripture the wrong way. And this is why, whether you want to believe it or not, God doesn't speak to us as much in words, because words are mm-hmm. so easy to be misinterpreted. But God mm-hmm. speaks to you and feeling. It is that feeling within that tells you. How many of us have had that feeling that said, don't do that? And then after we didn't do it, all we could do is praise God because we listened and we didn't do it, and the outcome was what it should have been. Whereas if we had not listened, it would have been different. How's the audio? Is the audio okay? Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Yes? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm still here. You're good, brother.
Okay. All right. Yep. So this is what we need to understand. When we say, now God took your will because God gave you free will. So when he gave you free will, he accepted it as his. So all of this, all the time, got to beg and ask for forgiveness, scared to say this, scared. Do you really think that there is a word, an action, or anything that can truly offend God?
No.
Who is it that created this? God is
not
everything.
Everything.
Everything. And the one thing God does not want us to do, God does not want us to fear him. Not even in that sense of the reverence that they talk about. I am a part of you. How can I be afraid of my right hand? But this is the mindset in which we have got. Instead of working each day to be the best, and in order for us to do that, one of the things we've got to do, and it's important, we've got to put the books down. We've got to put the books down, and we've got to go within. I got this song that I play normally on my podcast. It's called Have a Talk with God by Brother Stevie Wonder. Wrote it almost 20 years ago. Have a talk with God. Now, what you got to understand is when you have that talk with God, you've got to be able to listen because he's talking to you. And what happens is when people do listen, they really don't hear. And when you do hear, you don't believe what you're hearing. And when you do believe what you're hearing, you don't follow instructions anyway. So you got to understand that your will is God's will. First, because God knows it. Second, because God accepts it. Third, because God praises it. Fourth, because God loves it. Fifth, because God owns it and calls it its own. This means you have free will to do as you wish. And that, God makes your will his through unconditional love. But now, for your will to be God's will, you have to do the same thing. First, you have to know it. Second, you have to accept it. Third, you have to praise it. Fourth, you'd have to love it. And finally, you'd have to call it your own. And you say, well, what is God's will? That is something that's between you and God. Because God's will for you is something different than God's will for me. It's all striving for that higher self of you, because what you have to understand, when you listen to the voice, to the spirit within you, and you do those things, then you glorify the Father or you glorify the Mother. Depending on however you want to look at God, and however you want to look at God, it does not matter to God. Why? Because God is still God.
Amen.
And we have to understand this. We walk around like, oh, I can't say this word. I can't do this. That means nothing to God. Do you honestly think that God is sitting up in wherever you think he is, looking down on each and every one of us, watching any and everything that we say and do? God is not a judgmental God. But that's the box we put them in. The word tells you God is not giving you the spirit of fear. And what is it that we fear the most?
Man.
God. We fear God.
We fear God, and we fear ending up in a place that doesn't exist called hell. And when you come to realize who you are, then, and only then, will you understand this place called hell does not exist as a physical place. This place called hell is only a mental concept in your mind.
You know, Brother Messenger.
And if truth be told, yes, sir.
You know, Brother Messenger, just before I get to that third question, that's the one that's going to make them say, oh, no, he didn't say that. But before we get to that third, question, I had a conversation the other day with someone about hell. And I tried to explain it. And, you know, if we're lucky, very lucky, we might live to be 100 years old. 100 years in God's eye, I don't think it's a blink. So if we're talking about a God of love, do you think that for such a small period in time, your 100 years on this earth, that if you didn't follow or obey and praise God consistently, do you think that he would allow you to spend eternity in this place people call hell for a small period of time that you were not faithful to it? I mean, does that make sense? Does that sound like somebody, a God of love? Because again, we may live, you know, we may live to be 100, but 100 years in the concept of time to the Creator, that's nothing. And so, for your time and nothing, because you didn't follow a guideline for the rest of eternity, which really has no end, you're going to be punished.
Well, brother, let me enlighten you on something. You said the next question might blow them away. I'm telling you, this question is going to blow them away, because what they have to understand is there is no time with God.
That's right.
We created time. Just
that's
so
right.
You know, everything is happening right now.
Present.
That's right. Yeah. Everything. And I could go even deeper, but not today. But I want you to know that everything is happening right now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we come to understand this, then we can look at things a little differently. Then we can understand the awesomeness of God. Not only the awesomeness of God, but the awesomeness of each and every one of us. Because God created us in his own image. Now, when we say in his own image, that does not mean that we look like him. What it means, because God has no look. God is spirit. And that spirit resides in us. And we have the same power and authority that God has. Unfortunately, people only think God gave that power to Jesus. But that isn't so. And Jesus even tried to tell them, but they wouldn't believe it.
And on that,
and
let me
segue. Yeah, okay.
Let me segue right to the third question that the songwriter was interested in. And it's not third question. It was important to the songwriter to know, when will Jesus return? And I asked Brother Messenger, could you embellish upon that?
Mm-hmm. And one of the things we've got to understand, when will Jesus return? Jesus never left.
Talk to him, bro.
And this is where, once again, where we're seeing it wrong at. We're looking at the body and not understanding that the body is nothing. The body is the temple that houses the Spirit of God. The same way it houses the Spirit of God in you, it houses it in Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Come on, talk to
him. The crucifixion and stuff that Jesus went through, he only went through it just to show you, because of the fact that our limited minds of understanding of what he was really talking about. Jesus knew technically him going to the cross did nothing. Because how can I save you from going to a place, to getting to a place that you're already at? How can I, me dying on the cross, prevent you from going to a place that no matter what, you're going there? As a matter of fact, as I said in so many of my podcasts, Hitler is there. And why is Hitler there? Because there is nowhere else to go.
That's right. That's right.
And when we understand this, when we understand who we are, I mean, because if we really stop for a moment, and just for clarity, stop for a moment and think about the things in which we've done in our lives. Who should really be here today? If we're using the religious doctrine, who should truly be here today?
None of us.
Because according to doctrine, we have all sinned and fall short. So
that's right.
If we've all sinned and fall short, how are we getting somewhere? And this is what we have to understand. We place a Jesus knew, O ye of little faith, why marvel at the things that I do? When you can do this and much more, there was power in that. But we just took it as a nice saying. But Jesus was trying to tell you, these things I do, you can do. And the truth of the matter is, these things we have done. There have been so many times when we listened to that spirit within us that led us to do certain things, and we just shouted for joy, knowing that it was nothing but God that did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very next day, that voice talked to us. We didn't pay it any attention. But we got to experience being one with God. We experienced that, and we know we experienced each and every one, those that people want to call good, those that people want to call bad, have all experienced it. But we can't accept it or believe it because we think it's too good to be true. We think we got to be punished. Why do we think we got to be punished? Because we're being punished here on earth, so we think we got to be punished in God's world too. We think because every man's got to be accountable for his deeds and stuff, we think that's the way it is in heaven, in the realm of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so because we think that's the way it is in the realm of God, I mean, because it's here, this is the way we look at it there. We look at love the way our parents love us. And we know if our parents, if we don't do something right, they're going to get on us. And so we hold God to that same characteristics. So we all think that there's got to be some kind of accountability. And what we have to understand is that accountability is happening now. Not when that day comes when the soul is set free. Because once the soul is set free, the soul is in oneness with God. And it is still you. But you are in oneness with God, then you remember. And that's what the soul is trying to do for us each and every day, trying to help us remember who we are. Once we remember who we are, then we'll be able to do some things. Then we'll be able to walk in the boldness. We won't have that fear. But because we have been taught and brought up in a way that is not of God. It's what man has said. And a lot of people, I hate to get away from it, but a lot of people, they rather listen to the preachers, the imams, and the priests. They rather listen to them. Why? So that they're not accountable. Now, I want that to sink in. So that we are not accountable. Because if I have a talk with God and God tell me to do something and I don't do it, then I'm accountable. But if he told the preacher, then I'm not sure who he was talking to when he broke, you know, had his sermon. So I don't have to be held accountable for that. And we're afraid because we think that doing the will of God and being God is just too much. We think it's just like that. You got your Bible in both hands and everything you're saying is thou art and this and that. And so we don't want that. And God doesn't want that for you. God wants you to wake up each day and try to become the best you that you can be. And when you become the best you that you can be, that's how you glorify God.
Amen.
God don't need praises.
Mm-hmm.
God don't need your worship. Whether you worship him or not, still God. Yes,
would
sir.
You please say
that's
that
right.
again, my brother? Would you please say that again? For all these
Amen.
Folks that believe, if I'm not worshiping once a day, twice a day, or however many times that God is unhappy with me. And in fact, I put a post on Facebook last week just reminding people of your teachings. When you say God needs absolutely nothing, and I cannot say it with enough joy, God needs nothing from us. And I don't know why we believe that there's something we got to do to let God know that we're okay with whatever. And again, I just want to say that again, and I'll continue to say it. There's nothing that we have that God wants. God is the giver. He doesn't give us anything in hopes of getting some of it back.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Amen. Brother, you just touched on something deep, bro. Touched on something deep, because that is exactly the way it's supposed to be for us as well. Then
That's
we're
right.
living the Godness in us. I give this to you, why? Because I see that you're in need of it, and I have it here. And when I give it to you here, it is not for somewhere down the road for you to give me something back. Now, trust me, when we get to that stage where we're giving from our heart, not from our expectations, because a lot of times we give stuff expecting something in return, and that is not how you, as we would say, be blessed. What a man soweth, so shall he reap.
Mm-hmm.
So are you
and if
saying...
You're giving some, yes, sir.
Go ahead, bro. So are you saying... No. All them Sundays, I stood in that $100 line. I didn't have to be there.
No, you didn't have to be there, bro.
Amen.
No,
you didn't have to be there.
I didn't have to be there. Okay.
No. No. Now think about this. What do you think? What do you think is more pleasing to God? The fact that you stood in that line and gave $100 to some people that truly probably didn't need it. Or you took that $100 and helped somebody outside that really needed it.
See, again, and that's what I believe the true message is. And but you know what, though? We can't get to the true message because one thing that history or throughout the years have taught people that call themselves religious people, and that is your answer from God usually has to come from somebody else to you. You know what I'm saying? So God wanna tell me to go right. So instead of him telling me, he tells the pastor to tell me, and I don't get that. See, we create that middleman. We create that intercessor.
Amen.
If God wants me to go right, that's a message God gives to me.
Amen.
And he will give it to you. It's just
yes,
that we've been hoodwinked, per se, to believe that. God said, I'll never leave you. He didn't say, I'll never leave him. He said you. So it's a personal thing. So when he said, I'll never leave you, that's what he means. Now, one of the things we might be on the lookout for is so that we can know, because sometimes they've got us confused thinking that there is this devil And so sometimes when God's talking to us, we think it's the devil. Now, mind you, there is no devil, but we think it's the devil. So what happens is God talks to us, and because it isn't 100% in line with what the scripture has told them, that's when they give that to the devil. And so that's what I meant earlier when I said God talks to us. I said what happens is a lot of time God talks to us. And because something that is said doesn't align with what we think God would say, we take it as not from God.
That's right.
And just to give you a example, a quick example, is something like, I decided I wanted to go play basketball today, but they got a church service. So if I choose to go play basketball, then that's not really from God. I'm just using that as an example of how we choose sometimes not to listen to God because we don't think it's God.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing at all happens by coincidence. Everything is planned out.
Mm-hmm.
All things work together for the good. All things. Whether you love God or not, because it doesn't matter. Agape love or the unconditional love that God has for you, even if you don't love me, guess what? I still love you.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
And as they say, ain't nothing you can do about it because I am God, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. But we can't accept that because we've been planted with this fear. We were born in the likeness of God, but they got us thinking we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. How can you call it sin if God himself, herself, have given you free will to do as you please? How can we turn around and call that sin? Our problem is we feel as if we're separate from God. We feel as if God has turned his back on us because of some stupid stuff that they claim Adam and Eve did. And that's another subject to let you know. That was no sin, what Adam and Eve did. That was knowledge. Causing you to remember. But we place it as sin. You mean to tell me God created Adam and Eve, and 2 weeks into creation, they took over and disobeyed God? 3 weeks into creation? 3 months in the creation, 3 years in the creation, they changed what God had already ordained? How can that be? How can we be so of little mind to expect that from a God? That is truly a lesser God that we call ourselves trusting and believing in. God himself gave us joy, unspeakable joy. And all we can do is walk around in misery because we think that he mad at us because I went to the club last night. Trust me, if God did not want you to go to that club, guess what?
You wouldn't go. That's right.
You wouldn't have been at that club.
Mm-mm.
And if clubs were so bad for God's people, trust me, there would be no clubs.
That's right.
We keep forgetting who's in control. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Nothing, and when I say nothing, I mean absolutely nothing, can happen without God's approval. And because nothing can happen without God's approval, then it has to be okay with him. You have to understand that. So you can't look at it from a place of right or wrong. It is what you chose to do. If you, at this moment, you think that this is what's going to make you the best person and you're doing that, God is pleased with that. Now, when you do what you do and you don't get the outcome that you expected, God's not somewhere ready to slap you on the wrist. God is saying, okay, you didn't agree with that, so now what you going to do? Because you have to remember, everything you do, you're doing it with and for God. So that God can experience this experientially. He already knows it, but knowing without experience is nothing. So this is our purpose. This is the divine dichotomy. We are part of the body of God. And until we begin to understand this and see it for what it really is, we'll be just like that story in the Bible about in the wilderness. So we've got to understand who we are. It's not just to say, it is a fact. And it's facts that you have to back up. You have so many times where you've experienced the goodness of God. And when you experienced the goodness of God, you didn't experience, quote unquote, in the church. You didn't experience in a group. You felt it from within. Why within? Because that's where God resides. And if we understood this, we could, when, you know, people feel that they've got to be, just get back a little bit. People feel that they got to be in a church service and stuff like that, worshiping God all the time. That's not so. You can walk down there, you can sit there, you can sit in your living room and just have a talk with God.
Amen.
And if you be still, you'll hear him because he promised us he'd never leave us. He promised us he'd never forsake us. And one of the things which is so good about God and the way he got this set up, sometimes he talks to us and we don't quite pay attention to him.
Mm-hmm.
But God being God, all knowing, you know what he has a tendency to do? He has a tendency to send a message your way to confirm it.
What do you do?
Out of the blue sky, you get a call from your brother saying exactly the same thing that God has said to you. You get a call from your cousin telling you exactly. You riding down the street, and all of a sudden, you see a sign that just so happens to say just what that question was. God has all these different avenues that he can talk to us. It's just a question of who will listen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And so what I say to us is, it's time for us to start listening.
Okay.
Because we are great. We are marvelous. We are a creation of the Almighty. We are part of the body of God. And it's time for us to walk in that body. Walk knowing. Not to that religious cult, but walk to that voice that is guiding you on the inside. That still voice that is speaking to you. That's speaking to you right now, letting you know whether my words are his words or not. Because there's something within you. We know that thing, try the Spirit by the Spirit. Well, I'm asking you right now, try the Spirit by the Spirit. Is it something inside of you saying, that brother speaking right now?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still a little confused. If you're still a little confused, when this podcast is over, you go back to that voice. Talk to the voice. He will answer. He will answer.
Yes,
Brother Co-Producer.
I thank the podcast audience for joining this podcast this evening, The Messenger. Again, we get together And we like to discuss a different way of talking about the awesomeness of the Heavenly Father. A lot of our method, not a lot, but our method may be a little different. See, I said, what we should do next week is just have the song singer sing that live for us.
all right. Amen.
That's my mother, and she knows. That's a song that she can sing that will always do what it's doing right now.
Amen.
Eternal
what
life.
I have to do.
And I said, okay. Mm-hmm. But again, we do thank you. And the Messenger Podcast, remember, it's a podcast of love. It's a podcast of opening up to you about the goodness of God.
Amen.
Good night, audience.
Amen.
And thank you.
Enjoy.
Good night.